a new school, and there are a few new students amongst us. I want to tell them that this teaching is entirely new to most people, but it requires a certain amount of patience before the mind becomes free to understand it. You see, the method I use is to try and take all ideas, images, and beliefs away from the mind. Beliefs in reality, ideas of reality, sensations of reality, because these things are in the mind. They are not reality. They are not the real thing. And you are living in an illusion by doing so. Now, if I take away all these things and ideas and energy from your mind, and then I try to give you another idea which is better than that one, no matter how great that idea may be, you are still caught up in the same prison. It's still an idea, and you still don't know the truth. But the truth is, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to create an idea of it or an image of it, because it is. It is the livingness of yourself. Therefore, it is necessary to cleanse the mind of all the things that are hindering the expression of that which is. And therefore, divine reasoning is the means to which we reach the point where we must go beyond divine reasoning into that which is greater, into that which in itself is eternal and ever-present. Even divine reasoning is of the mind. Divine reasoning, the greatest thing that man can do as far as his mind is concerned, yet this goes beyond divine reason because it goes beyond mind. What we reason in the mind is in the mind. We create images and ideas according to an idea. The idea in the mind is a nucleus from which our thoughts move outwards, and we build up from that idea. But that is not truth. Let me tell you this, that it's not truth. Now, when I'm teaching you, what I do then is to try and eliminate all the limitations, all the things that are hindering truth, ideas, images, beliefs, to show you what they are so that you can discern them for yourselves and know them for what they are. Then they fall away, and you know they are not truth. And immediately you know that they are not truth, then truth reveals itself to you, because it's ever-present. You don't have to create it. It is. But you create ideas about it, therefore it is relative. It is limited, and has no power of its own. Therefore, think now clearly of what I am teaching you, is a way that the masters teach, at least the great masters teach, so that enables the student to eliminate from his mind all things that are hindering the expression of that which really is. And Jesus said, I of myself am nothing, but the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. But if you just read those words, and make an idea of those words in your mind, or imagine Jesus saying them, it's of no value to you. They must live in you. They must be alive in you just as they were alive in Jesus. And that is the truth. There can be no other truth. To take these words and make a mantra of them, or say them without understanding, is useless. Therefore, if you have an idea or you pray to your God while you're still caught up in your ideas and your images, you're conditioned with them. You're only bringing your prayer into your conditioned state. Therefore, your prayers are idolatry, they're illusionary. True prayer is an understanding that God, man, and the universe are one, and there is no separation. And you enter in, as Jesus said, into the closet, that is, into your very inner being. And therein, there the Almighty is, and with Him you commune. But But do you not commune with him as something apart from yourself, but knowing that he and you are one? And whatever you open yourself to, eliminating all these conditions and all the conditioning that you have created by yourself, if you then discern this conditioning thoroughly, it will fall away from you, and then you will know that that which is eternal and ever-present, and is your livingness, my livingness and your livingness. I am alive and living, that is God, becoming nothing else, God being infinite in nature. Therefore, enter into divine reason, and by our divine reasoning we are able then to get to that particular point, as it were, the sound barrier, where we penetrate that barrier which is nothing at all, practically. I often liken it to a piece of tissue paper where you push your finger through. But everybody comes to that piece of tissue paper, and they still remain on this side, because why? Because they're living in their ideas, in their beliefs, in their sensations. And they are not allowing reality, that which in itself, to express itself. I want to show you clearly that if you have an idea of reality, it is not reality. I am talking to you in relative terms. I'm speaking to you in words. But I don't want you to repeat my words, or make an idea or image of my words. My words are for a means to eliminate these conditions, or the conditioning you have created in yourself through your images and your beliefs. By doing so, then, the mind is clarified and becomes clear. And the most beautiful, the most perfect thing in the world takes place. The love of God, the perfectness of God, manifests itself because it is eternal and ever-present. But how can you reach that particular love? How can you grasp it, feel it? You can see it in your neighbor. In your relationship to your neighbor will be a self-revealing process to you. As you see and notice what you are doing to your neighbor, how you are treating your neighbor and so forth, it is revelation to yourself of what you are. But if you are not wide awake, you cannot see it. It requires then an awareness of your action, thought, feeling, reaction. So that that thought, feeling, reaction, you can discern it and understand it. Then, as you understand it, you're not caught up in it, it passes away, dissolves into nothingness, and every day of your life, you become aware, and you notice how you're acting, how you're feeling, and how you're reacting. Consequently, under these conditions, then you know yourself, and as you know yourself, all fear passes away, because everything is within yourself, even your stupidity. Because that is your own creation, as well as that which is within yourself, that which is eternal and ever-present. Which are you going to live with? Then you will say, I have to live with the good, and I'll discard the evil. But if you live with the good, you still have evil, because good and evil are relative terms. But if you get rid of the good, you'll get rid of the evil too. For the whole truth is that good and evil are relative terms, they belong to the tree that grows in man's mind. You cannot say that God is good because he is evil. There is no duality in God. Therefore you must get rid of this duality, these opposites of good and evil, faith and faith, ill health and health, and all these things that have opposites. Because if you have one, you have the other. If you have good, you have evil. If you have health, you have ill health. If you have success, you have failure. But there's no such thing in God. There's no such thing that belongs to man's mind. These are ideas, beliefs in man's mind. I'm showing you now what is necessary to get rid of. I want you to get rid of all the opposites, all the duality, so that that which is ever-present in itself, eternal and everlasting, will manifest itself in you. It is difficult for students to begin with, and to accomplish this, because you're always looking for the good and trying to run away from the evil. But I tell you this, Jesus said, resist not, knowing perfectly well that it has no power of its own. It's the eye that, when single, manifests the beauty and the glory of the Christ within you. Therefore, the peace that comes with that is beyond understanding. This is the first lesson of the series, and I want it to remain the basis of what I will say afterwards, even if it may be somewhat in the relative plane. The great latent, hidden desire of every soul is to give expression to the infinite creative power from within. This desire is often clouded with ignorance because few know how to give expression to this mighty power that is latent within all, not knowing that God, man, and the universe are one. God, man, and the universe are one. They cannot be separated in any way whatsoever. There is no separation in the infinite mind. There is no outside. But this must not be an idea, for an idea is of the mind and is not truth. Therefore, although it is divine reasoning, we have to get beyond that divine reasoning and know the truth. There is this so-called barrier that is the mind of the individual. Now, because you are always thinking in your mind. If you are caught up in your thinking, how can you know the thinker? If you are caught up in your creation, how can you know the creator? If you are caught up in the relative, how can you understand that which is real? If you are caught up in your mind, how can you understand that which is beyond your mind? How can you know that which is beyond your mind? Not that you will ever understand what it is or know what it is, but you will know that it is. And it is this great, mighty completeness that comes to the being when you know that you are. You do not have to be. You do not have to be something. You are now. You do not become something. You are now. Why? Because God is. God is now. If you are not now, you'll never be. Tomorrow never comes. Becoming is always going away from reality. Being is reality. Now the failure with most people to accomplish this all-important and essential thing is because they look to some power that is separate from themselves, not realizing that the creative power is a life force within which has the power to direct the intelligence which is behind all things in heaven and on earth. Life alone having consciousness is a consciousness in man. Life having intelligence or knowing how is released only when the consciousness in man becomes aware of the truth that God, man, and the universe are one and not separate. Not a belief that that is true, is just an idea in your mind. Therefore, I say to you this thing, and you take it away and you believe it is true. But if I tell you this, I don't want you to accept what I say to you. I want you yet to think about it until such time it becomes your own truth. I want you to think about it, not accept what I say. Otherwise, I am not teaching you at all. In fact, I cannot teach you the truth, but all I can do is to teach you what is not true, so that you will find the truth yourself. And you will find it if you follow these instructions, because they are the instructions of the Masters. You have taught me, great Master Jesus himself, the method as he taught his own disciples. Therefore, it is the only way through which you can find the truth. And you must find it yourselves. I cannot find it for you. Because if I find it for you, it will just be another idea in your mind of what truth is. Therefore, it will be useless to you. The law of life is that full recognition must be given to it and it alone as the creativeness in man. The self, which is the hindrance to life's full expression, must be dealt with through understanding of the self and how the self prevents the expression of life by not living in the present. The self always brings in the past and the future, which clouds the present. That is the mind, the self. That is the self and the mind are one. The self that is separate, because the self feels itself in separation. It lives in separation. So it is the mind in separation. When you have an ideal, you isolate yourself from your brother, do you not? If you have a belief, you isolate yourself also from your brother. Because your belief is according to what is in your mind and according to your own conditioning, how you are brought up, what you thought for your child, how you were trained, so forth, what nationality you belong to, what group you belong to, what religion you belong to, and so forth, your condition thereby. Is it not so then that the past and the future are just the same? They are conditioning you. The past is conditioning you, the future is conditioning you. Why then live in the past and the future when you can live in the ever-present now? But you can't live in the ever-present now while you're conditioned. But if you recognize how you are conditioned, it will fall away from you, and truth will reveal itself. It is not so difficult. But you've always been given ideas. You'll be giving an idea and a belief to accept. Therefore, you become imitators. You cannot be free, can you, if you're imitating another? And how you're imitating another, you are just imitating what somebody else says. Therefore, you become imitators and you cannot be free. If I could only take away everything that is preventing that which is true manifesting in your life, it would be the greatest thing in my life, greatest thing that could ever possibly be. But I can't do it. You must do it for yourself. I can't eat your dinner for you. You must do that yourself. Therefore, by being conscious in the consciousness of life itself, continually in the present, we can express life with effect and accuracy in any direction, provided we know this one supreme law of life, that God, man, and the universe are one. Now, not in some future time, as some think, for if you are not now, you will never be. Jesus said, as the Father, whoever remaineth within me, he does the work. Now, not tomorrow, now. He was doing it then, and now too, always expressing himself. So Jesus was free from conditioning. He wasn't conditioned, that's why his whole thoughts were pure. But your thought is not pure, why? Because you're conditioned and your thoughts is according to your conditioning. But if you discern how you're conditioned, and this conditioning dissolves away from you, then your thought shall be pure, and it shall be great, and it shall be powerful. Now there is more to this than is seen on the surface. If we look at the feats of the Master, we see the conscious direction of a power that is miraculous. That it is not miraculous when we understand the laws pertaining to the expression of the life Jesus called the Father. For he lived in that life, always in the present. The life Jesus called the Father was the life that he was himself, and could not be an idea or a memory. Because if the life which was in himself was just an idea in his mind, or a memory of an idea, or a belief, he could not perform the feats that he did. But he was ever present in that life, and that life was ever present in him. Therefore it was true enough, and easy enough, for the Master, who was completely unconditioned in any way whatsoever, to allow the life of God to manifest in any way he pleased, because he was the Father. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Though you're not, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. What do you mean by saying, show me the Father? Don't you know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. These words that I speak are not of my own accord. It's the Father who ever remains within me. It is he who is performing his own deeds. Jesus said, I am the life, the Father and I are one. This could not be a product of mind, but a natural consciousness of life itself. It was life. Now don't make an idea of it, or making an idea of his sayings in your mind. Because listening or hearing Jesus or hearing me saying those things mean nothing to you at all. It must become alive and living in yourselves. Therefore God, man, and universe are one and the same. Was this that Jesus understood perfectly? When he saw the imperfection in man, he knew that man himself was the cause, because there could be no imperfection in God. Man was living in duality. Even when man saw the good, it was associated with evil, because he only could see good if he saw evil, and he could only see evil if he saw good. Therefore, he was caught up in duality. There existed in the East great sages thousands of years ago who founded the great school of wisdom. It was known as the wisdom of the ancients. The great sages of Persia, the Magi, were a branch of this great school. At the same time, there was a branch in ancient Egypt known as the great therapeutic of ancient Egypt. These schools were founded by the great sages, and their work was secret and sacred. They had contact with great sages who had passed from the earth, and these sages revealed the truth that God, man, and the universe were one. And this included the practical application of God's creative power in man. And all the legends tell us of the wondrous works done with this understanding. The pyramids of Egypt, the separating of the water and the Red Sea, Jesus calming the storm, the loaves and the fishes, the walking on the water and so forth, were all the expression of the realization of the truth that came through this wonderful teaching. These schools existed for many years before and after Jesus came. They became extinct as dogmatic religion came into force, and history tells us how many of the books and records of these schools were burnt by order of King Constantine. Nevertheless, the truth, still intact, was kept alive in the Himalayas, away from the ignorant minds that would try to destroy it. Because the thought that organized religion, which was really antagonistic to one another, or was truth. It was all in the mind. But you see, these great sages knew differently. They knew it was not of the mind. The mind was a vehicle through which the truth would manifest. But one had to reach the stage of where the mind could be searched with freedom, without condemnation, without identification. And there, through realization of the truth, became an established fact to the masters. And by the immediate expression of that truth, it became an actuality, a living expression as it was in Jesus. Jesus, of course, went to the Himalayas, he went to Persia, to the Magi, he went to ancient Egypt, and to the school there showed him the great truth. But even then he became a greater master than all the rest put together, because he saw beyond even that which was limited in itself. And with him there was no limitation. And as he said, all power is granted unto me in heaven and in earth. It was not a saying to him, but a complete realization of the truth of his own livingness. Power that God and he and the universe were one. Therefore he became the greatest living master since time began, and still remains the greatest living master, alive and living still. To know that this truth is the greatest treasure in the world, every soul is trying to find it one way or another, either consciously or unconsciously. Each one is trying to express the creative power, but with little success, because the law is not understood. God, man, and the universe are one. What is keeping people ignorant of this wisdom today is that God is presented to most children and adults as some person outside themselves, which they have to worship in ignorance. In many books for children, God is represented as a bald-headed old man with a long white beard and flowing robes to hide his body. All these stupid persons should have long been relegated to the waste paper basket. Is it any wonder that we have skeptics, scoffers at spiritual truths in our midst when we are asked to accept such rubbish or be damned to a place called hell, which does not exist outside man's own mind? And here is a letter I received from a person who wants to know something what is true. He says, I am a Protestant by religion. I was educated in a Catholic school. I was puzzled to hear the Catholics stating that their religion is the only first and true church in the whole universe, and other religions which are separate from their church are on the wrong side. On the other hand, the Protestants' contrary insist on saying that their religion is also the true one. Will you please assist my heart's faith by settling this question? Here is a person in confusion. The reply is, God is infinite in nature. That means he is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He is therefore present everywhere. There is nowhere where he is not. He is all power and all wisdom. God is life, and life is God. There can be nothing outside him, otherwise he would not be infinite. Therefore you cannot be outside him, and he cannot be outside you. Within God you live and move and have our being, and he expresses himself through us. How then can there be a wrong or right side? If God is everywhere, then he must be on the wrong side too. There is only one God, so how can he be divided
against himself.
We get dozens and dozens of letters like these, asking us to clarify these conditions that exist in the world today, caused through people who are ignorant of the truth. Oh, how true it is what Jesus said, the blind lead the blind and they all fall into the ditch. When we begin to know the truth that God and man and the universe are one, we realize that they are not separated but are one whole, therefore hell is an imaginary place in man's own mind. But as there can be no place where God is not present always, we see that these stupid statements are made by ignorant minds who have not the ability to think. So they perpetuate a lot of nonsense which the unthinking accept as true. The blind lead the blind and they all fall into the ditch, as Jesus already told us. Heaven is a state of consciousness acquired through the understanding of the oneness of all things. God, man, and universe being one, the universe gives rise to the individual, and the individual that understands give expression to the universal. Heaven is a state of consciousness that is aware of wholeness, oneness, where separation does not exist. The unity of God and man as one and the same, for it cannot be otherwise, God being infinite in nature. It was this wisdom that the ancients knew and practiced. It was the same wisdom that Jesus gave expression to. This wisdom can also be yours, and there is not anything that can compare with it. It is more precious than all the rubies and fine gold, the prophet tells us. And when we have it, we know that it is so. And when this wisdom is yours, because you shall find it. As James says, whoever seeks wisdom, if he prays, then he shall receive it. But he must pray a certain way, because the double-minded creature need not think he got anything from the Lord. And the double-minded creature is the individual who is living in opposites and in duality. Extraordinary but true. How simple is the truth? It is terribly simple. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Wholeness was already established. Wholeness is. Doesn't have to be. It is now. Your wholeness is now. He said, your faith hath made thee whole. At that moment when she touched the garment, there was nothing in her mind had been cleansed and clarified. There was nothing but the faith. If she touched his garment, she would be whole. There was nothing else in her mind, nothing to counter it, no belief or doubt in her mind. There was just that complete faith. And she wade her way through the crowd. She pushed herself through the many people that were surrounding him until she reached the very garment, because she knew that she touched that garment, she would be healed. And instantly, the healing took place. The wholeness that is established now is complete in itself. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to create it. It is now established, now at this very moment, it is so. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. That was the simplicity of the teachings of Jesus. It's the simplicity of the truth in your life at this moment. You are whole now at this moment. Therefore, if you pray in your conditioning, you pray amiss. But if you pray in faith, knowing that wholeness is, then your faith shall make you whole. But if you pray with your tongue in your cheek, believing in your trouble, you're living in duality. You're thinking of health and ill health. You're thinking, as the ordinary people do, in faith and fear. Faith on one side and faith on the other. You fear your trouble, and you have still an inkling, a small particle of faith that God will heal you. You fall by the wayside. It's like the seed that falls in the rocks and doesn't produce anything. Or the seed that falls on the ground and the birds pick it up and pick it away. But the seed that falls in ground that is prepared through understanding, it shall grow and produce 10, 20, 60, and 100-fold. Unless the seed falls into the ground, it shall die. Unless the seed falls into the ground and becomes part of the creative principle of life, it shall die in itself. But if it falls into the ground and it then takes root, it shall grow and produce its kind, 60, 100-fold. So it is with you at this very moment. Wholeness is the completeness. Wholeness is everything. It is you now, wholeness, completeness. You do not have to be, you are now, at this very moment. That is the teachings of Jesus. By faith, have made thee whole. If wholeness was not there now, she could never be whole. If wholeness did not exist now, you could never be. Neither could the woman have been whole either. But because wholeness was complete in itself, wholeness was established there through faith, alone, without fear, without doubt, the mind being entirely and completely clear of these things, of duality. What is wrong with most people is that they are ruled by what has been told to them by others, who do not know themselves. Few people use the divine gift of reason inherent in all, their minds being full of concepts. They are thus giving expression only to memories and ideas instead of a living God now, knowing that God living in them now makes them alive. Father have life in himself. And he grants the Son to have life in himself. It's the same life. There is no separation between the life, you life, and the totality of all life in the universe, because there can be no separation in life. Most people say that they believe in God, but they do not know where he is. How can they be sure of such a God? When I ask people where God is, they look up into the sky and say, there, somewhere. As if he has a special locality in some place. But God has no special locality. He is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. There is nowhere where he is not. There is no such thing as locality in completeness. There is only locality in the mind of an individual who lives in separation. Fortunately, the present generation is not so gullible as their parents were. They want to think things out for themselves, and this is the beginning of the revolution of man. That's why the church is running after all the young people to try and get them to come in, be caught up in this particular form of religion which is separate. Catholics, the Protestants, the Hindus, the Mohammedans, and all alike They're all at it everywhere, trying to claim everyone for themselves, so they can separate man from man. Oh, what a tragedy. I wish Jesus would come back again in his completeness and wholeness, and yet denounce all this thing as he did before. Most people are slaves to tradition and thought and religion, with the result that the world is still perpetuating in its ignorance. Young people, if they are at all alive, are full of revolutionary ideas. They must be, otherwise they are already old. The old are those who want to settle back. They want security in their souls, in their work. They want certainty in ideas, in relationship, and in things. If you are young, there is a spirit of inquiry which makes you want to know the truth of everything, of any political action, left or right, or any religion, whether it is east or west. If you are bound by tradition or what others say, you will never be generators of the world or creators of a new civilization expressing the truth, because you'll be caught up and conditioned by the conditions of the past. You'll be conditioned by your traditions, your thoughts, conditioned by the ideas of your groups, whether it may be religious or politics. Will it be any particular form of religion or group of any kind, you'll be conditioned by it. And it becomes an idea in your mind, and then you'll fight the other person who has a different idea in his mind. Therefore you will slay each other because of your ideals. You'll kill one another because of your ideals. And what are they? An image of your mind. And it's an illusion created by yourself. It is not a truth. Truth is a living God. Truth is, I am the truth. I am the life. That is the truth of the living God, who is omnipresent, omnipotent. I am that truth. I am alive and living. That is my truth. You are alive and living also. You are my brothers and sisters. You are my neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself is the ruling that Jesus gave to man. Your neighbor is yourself, the light of what Jesus taught, and it is the same today. Therefore, unless you recognize or discern your relationship to one another, you will not be free. But if you can discern your relationship and how you act towards one another, it will be a self-revealing process. Reveal yourself to yourself, and when you see how hideous it is, it will dissolve away. And as the mind is cleared of all that which is illusionary and false, that which is perfect in itself will express itself. As Paul says, the imperfect shall be superseded by the perfect. Love never passes away. Love is eternal. Love is the thing that never passes. Knowledge will pass. Prophesying will pass. All these things of the mind will pass. But love shall never pass away, because it is its own eternity. It is God. And that love lives in the very center of your being. And when you clarify the mind and clear away these things that are hindering the expression of it, it blooms forth like a beautiful flower in the expression to itself. What is essential for old and young is to live fully and completely. To live fully and completely, there must be freedom, which is not the acceptance of any authority. There can be freedom only when there is virtue. But virtue is not imitation. Virtue is not ethics. Virtue is creativeness. Creative living comes only through freedom. which itself is virtue. Virtue cannot be cultivated, and that which is cultivated is not virtue, nor does it come through practice. Virtue comes through freedom, and freedom comes through understanding. Maturity does not come with age. Maturity comes with understanding. There can be no understanding when we seek an ideal. There can only be understanding when we inquire ardently. When we lose the desire to inquire, then you are old, even if you are young in years. Merely passing examinations is not education. Any fool can pass examination. It only requires a certain type of mind. But to earnestly inquire, to search out life, to understand the whole basis of existence, requires a keen, alert mind, a mind that is pliable, not a mind that is caught up and condensed with concepts and beliefs, but a mind that is pliable. And it's the most difficult thing to get a mind that is pliable. The mind that is forced to conform becomes impliable, and thus the whole of our society is based upon compulsion. Through compulsion there can be no understanding, however subtle that compulsion may be. Wisdom creates confidence and extraordinary pliability of mind. And this is not for the exclusive few. All can acquire it through understanding, conformity, understanding, tradition, through deep inquiry. This will lead to love and affection. So when we understand all these things, conformity, what it is, how it comes about, understanding tradition and what it is and how it comes about, then through deep inquiry lead to that which is eternal and ever-present, love and affection. You do not create love. You do not create affection. It is an established foundation of the whole universe. It is the opening of the soul to God through inquiry, deep inquiry. Not opening your soul to God with your tongue and your cheek, seeing evil all the time. Because if you see evil in another, you must see it in yourself. You cannot see it outside yourself. Because evil you see and feel and think must be in yourself and not outside yourself. You cannot think out there or think out there. You can't see evil there. What you see is vibrations. What you think and hear are vibrations. Enter into your mind. Your mind then creates the image of what it is through your own experiences. And then you create in your own mind the evil you see. So therefore you are evil. You cannot be otherwise, can you? He who sees evil is evil. When you love someone, there is neither high nor low. There is no difference. There is just love and affection. This is strong. For love does not conform. It itself is the extraordinary flame, and which in itself is its own eternity, ever present, that is ever releasing, ever giving, ever harmonious, never possessing, never angry, never affected, never conditioned. What a beautiful love. Have you ever loved anybody like that? Think, you can only love like that when you have arrived there yourself, not before. A lot of old people will say, I have had experience. But the trouble is, they kind of keep their eyes off it, so they turn back round and walk back through life instead of going forward. Is the world not suffering today from chills, fevers, panics and booms, wars and rumours of war? The world has a temperature that is up and down like the waves of the sea. What is wrong with the world is that which is wrong with man himself, for he is the world. You must go to the mountain top and view things from above. By our insight, our divine reason, we will see our own mistakes. We will see that we ourselves are the cause of world chills, panics, booms, wars, etc. Is it not so that our conferences all end in naught because we have not discovered the causes within ourselves? We must stop groaning about the miserable state of the world and act individually and collectively in our relationship to one another as sons of God. When we operate upon this law, our troubles and worries will change into opportunities for true creativeness and creative living. The road ahead will no longer be clouded in mist, for the creative power will manifest its own divine nature. When man realizes that God, man, and the universe are one. When this is understood, we can say in our hearts with confidence, lead kindly light amidst the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. I do not want to see each step enough for me. Lead thou me on. Then the consciousness of the individual mind will be one with the creative consciousness of the universe. Here alone lies the spirit of power, the creative power in man. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is entering the sanctuary of the silent people.